Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our heart apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we'll discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad you're able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or just in case you want to listen to the audio version, you can go to any podcast distributor and you can type in Reconnect My Heart Podcast. Also, for those who may want to see the video version of Reconnect My Heart, you can go to ReconnectMyHeartPodcast.com. Also, just in case you're on your mobile phone, you can go to my app, Brother Prater, and you can type in Brother Prater on the Android or Apple, and you will definitely see my app. Type in my app, and you will see podcasts, and you can get on there. I want to thank each and every one of y'all tuning in. I hope y'all had a great day, and I thank you so much for your continued presence and support. I really, really, really thank you all. I love y'all dearly. Today, this was on my heart. To talk about a subject that oftentimes we all deal with. We deal with a variety of things in life, but the results often the same. The results, regardless of what situation we face, there are situations that make us question our worth, our identity, our esteem, our importance in life, or to somebody. And so what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about a particular subject that is dear to me, more than enough. More than enough. When life makes you question your worth. You know, many of us, like I say, many of us go through a variety of things. And unfortunately, the things that we deal with, sometimes we try to find someone that may understand what we're dealing with. And sometimes people minimize it. We try to talk to someone and we try to find someone that's going through what we've gone through. Sometimes it's hard for us to find people that relate to what we're dealing with, or even for us to be able to not just explain, but understand our situation. And sometimes in a variety of situations that we deal with, like I say, it make us question who we are. It make us question. And one of the things I always say, yes, when situations occur in life, this, I don't care if you ain't saved, you will be going through things in life. But I don't care if you are saved, you will go through things in life. And just because you go through something in life does not mean that you're not saved. So many people think, well, because you're saved, all your problems are over with. Well, as far as your eternal home, hey, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's great. But while you're on this side of earth, while you're living in this world, yeah, you're going to face some things. And I don't care how sweetheart of a person that you are, I don't care how good you are, somebody going to have a situation with you. Somebody going to have a problem with who you are. And sometimes it don't have to be somebody. It could be something. But no matter what you deal with, we know we have an ever-present help in time of sorrow or in our time of trouble. But also, not just pertaining to situations pertaining to a person or thing, it could be sometimes even just pertaining to health. It could be something knowingly or unknowingly that we deal with. Like I say, sometimes just life in general, things happen. You can have a death of a loved one. Yes. You know, you can, like I say, go through a health crisis, a health scare, all these things. And so one of the things I was thinking about, where we deal with something, and let's just say in relations to someone, yeah, there may be somebody that you might have been a friend to, married to, dating, or whatever. And all of a sudden, now that relationship severs. And what happened? Now it's like, there are some broken pieces in our life. And sometimes, you know, I've seen so many people that have invested into relationships, invested into marriages, invested into some type of courtship or relationship, any type of relationship. Like I say, relationship pertaining to someone that you're dating or even just friends. You know, you can be all that you can be to that particular person, but that person does not reciprocate what you give then to them. And what happened, things happen, it's a tear. You know, one of the things I always think about, people often think about just soul ties just related to the opposite sex pertaining to marriage or dating. But if you look in the Bible, you look at Jonathan and David, they were friends. They were buds. And it doesn't have to be anything sexual, which that was not the case with them. But when you come down to friends, when it comes down to people that you trust, all of a sudden what happened when their relationship breaks, it's a hurtful thing. The relationship can be broken pertaining to broken trust or death. You never know. You know, sometimes when a person moves, it does something. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people right now, there are a lot of parents that are about to get ready to send their child off to college. What happened? Oftentimes they have to deal with that empty nest syndrome. And so when things happen and now there's a change, sometimes it makes us question us. And let's just say look at it from the standpoint of the end of a relationship, the end of a marriage, the end of a courtship or whatever, getting released from a job. You have your hopes, you have your dreams. All of a sudden now they're shattered down. And things like that make you question, wow, why me? We often hear that, why me? You know, matter of fact, I'll share this with you. Years ago, matter of fact, I believe it was in 94, I was going to the doctor to get a physical, and the doctor, you know, do an examination, found out that, you know, I had lost a lot of weight. And they began to check me, and one thing led to another. They told me that I would have to get a variety of tests done because they found a spot in my liver, and they thought that it was a cancer or a tumor on my kidney. I believe it was my kidney. But it was hurtful for me to get that news. And, of course, why me? Matter of fact, my oldest brother, I'll never forget, I went to go see him when he was working. I went to his job, and it was myself and a good friend of mine. We went to go see him, and he said, man, I don't understand. You go to church, you don't call no problem, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do any of this stuff, and you got to go through. And it made me question. It made me question, why me? It made me question, you know, how some people say, oh, well, you know, you must have did something. There are some unrepentant sin that you may have done that you need to confess to God. You need, you know, people say, you know, all these stuff. They try to, quote unquote, spiritually diagnose your problem. And I didn't understand. And like I said, it made me question my situation, it made me question my worth. And also, not just pertaining to me, there are some people that have gone through a divorce. You know, their spouse leave them, their spouse mistreats them. And all of a sudden, they make them feel worthless. You know, when you deal with someone that have been verbally abused, berated by their spouse or significant other, you'd be surprised the words that they have been told. It makes them feel like that's their identity. And so now when we listen to them, or when we just allow them just talk and just share their heart, what happens, how they were before that person was in their life, is not the same verbiage that now you hear. Male or female, situations may have come because now they're questioning based upon what they think is the facts from someone that was close to them. And so now all these things, it makes you question, man, was I enough? Am I enough for this person? Am I enough for anyone? So many people feel like, well, shucks, the damage that has been done is unrepairable. You know, I've given my life to the particular job. I've been on time. I've been there for 20 and 30 years, never called in sick. I went there sleet, snow. I went there even when I had to stay up to watch the kids. I still got up in the morning to go to work. And now they're laying me off. They're giving someone else my job that's less qualified and been there less time than myself. All these things make you question. But also, if you look at it, being real, these things get into your head. These things, it's like, wow. You'd be surprised to impact the situations that come in our life. It make us have that conversation in our head. It makes us have a conversation with ourselves. And you'd be surprised the sleepless nights or the bed confessions or the midnight, the pillow talk that we have with ourselves pertaining to situations that may have occurred in our life. like I said, it make us question. Why me? It make us question, man, am I good enough? Am I qualified? It make us question our identity. It make us question our gift. It even make us question, if we be real, it make us question, I'm not going to even say make us question God. I'm not going to even say that. I'm going to say this. It make us question what God told us. Think about that. What if God told you to do something, and what you think God told you, or God may have actually told you, and it doesn't come out the way that you desire, it's like, wait a minute. It makes us question, God, did you really tell me that? And God said, yes. Well, why did it didn't work out? Why did it not succeed? Why did I go through this situation? There's a lot of things that go into our head when we have that conversation. It's like, wow, because sometimes we expect immediate results that are victorious, immediate victory. But sometimes we don't think about long-term victory. We think about instantly getting victory in the battle. But what if we lose in the battle, but we get victory in the war? You know, matter of fact, I think about so many people when they have launched out into a business and they step out on faith and they hear God told them to do this, God told them to do this or do that. And all of a sudden, things don't work out in the very beginning. It's like, and especially, you feel kind of confident to go ahead and step out because you got this person that's beside you. Oh, I promise you, I'll be with you. And as soon as you step out, they step out. You step out on faith, and they step out in fear. You step out in faith to go forward, but they step out with you in fear and leave you. And now you're like, wait a minute. You'd be surprised when things happen like that. You're like, wow. But one of the things I began to start learning when it comes down to when God tell us to do something. Sometimes God will tell us to do something and it's an inconvenience. Let's be honest. There are some things that God may have told us to do or tell us to do. It can be very scary. Because why? Because we step out in an area that's unfamiliar to us. It's easy for us to step out on faith when you actually see, hey, that cushion. It's easy for you to step out on faith when you know, hey, you know what? It's going to be all right. When you see your help, when you see your support, when you see that safety net, but what happened to God tell you just to trust him and go? Now, one of the things I always tell people, we have to be understanding because God is not going to tell you something that's opposite of his word. But also, God will always make sure that he tell you something. But most importantly, he's going to make sure that he prepare you for it. He's going to prepare you for it. And oftentimes what happens, if it's something that God's telling us to do, we have to make sure that we're listening to him to make sure that we can decipher between God's voice and our emotions. One of the things I found out, when God tells us to do something, oftentimes it's going to come where it's going to exercise every ability that we have. And like I said, the things that may have transpired, yes, the devil tries so badly to make us question our identity, our worth, our purpose, and also our belonging. What do I mean? Our belonging, because what I found out, the devil wants to bring some type of distraction to make you question God, your purpose, or yourself. See, what I found out, when the devil feels like he can make you question God, then he has the ability, if you listen and lean into that or give into that, then what happens, he can remove you from your source. If the devil can distract you from God, then you are removed from your source. If you look at a tree that is uprooted from the roots, will never survive when it's not planted. See, when it's planted, it has the ability to receive the nourishment, the water, all these things. But once it's uprooted, it's just a matter of time for it to die. You know, as soon as you're uprooted from your source, that's when the process of death begins. But once you are rooted, then that's when, get this, that's when the beginning of purpose, but also the ending of death. The ending of death happens when you are rooted in your belonging, in your roots. When your roots are planted, that's when the ending of death stops. That's when the end of death begins. I hope I said that correctly. But once you are uprooted, it's just a matter of time. Process happens. And so if the devil can remove us from the source, then everything else, it ain't going to work out. But also understand that when we get a chance to be rooted, when we are rooted in Christ, and then, like I said, if the devil does not distract us or derail us from our source, which is Christ, then he'll try to make us question our purpose. See, oftentimes the hardest thing for us to do is try to live this life not knowing our purpose. See, if you don't know your purpose, then it's hard for you to be able to identify certain skills, certain traits that you have. Everybody has a gift. Now, there are some people that may have more than one gift. And when I say gift or talent, we're not just talking about the spiritual, because God has gifted each and every one of us at least one spiritual gift. At least one spiritual gift. While I'm talking, I'm gonna look up spiritual gifts, because I want to make sure I tell y'all the scriptures. So that way, and matter of fact, I may even next week, even if it's not next Sunday, I may have a specific day where we just talk about spiritual gifts. I love speaking about spiritual gifts. But everyone has at least one spiritual gift. And so with that one spiritual gift, matter of fact, looking at 1 Corinthians 12th chapter of the spiritual gifts, it mentions spiritual gift of faith. Now, that word faith is not talking about salvation. We're not talking about that. And also, everyone has a measure of faith, but there are others who have exploits. It's like they have so much confidence in God told them to do this, so much faith in a particular ability of doing something. So that there are some people, everyone has a measure of faith. But also understand this, we all have a faith in something, but unfortunately the devil try to use that particular faith that you may have in something as fear, because there are some people that have faith of things going badly for them. You know, in other words, their expectation of having something bad to happen, you know. So spiritual gifts of faith, gifts of prophecy, gifts of miracles, discerning of spirits, being able to distinguish between certain spirits, spiritual gift of wisdom, word of knowledge, meaning you can be able to share with someone something that had transpired in their life, a prophecy, that means you'll be able to see ahead what may be going on or what's going to happen in the future, and like I said, a gift of healing. There are so many other things. So that particular, those are spiritual gifts, but also there's natural gifts or talents that we may have that the devil may try to use to make us question, you know, our gift or our ability. And so what happened, matter of fact, even if you look at some of the football players, you know, when a person gets cut or somebody, you know, get released from their job, you know, it's like, wait a minute. Matter of fact, understanding that sometimes when those things happen, sometimes, yeah, there may be something that we may need to kind of sharpen, but also on the same token, what happened is sometimes either rejection or failure to design us to make us build character. I was watching, my goodness, I know there was Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders got turned down, if I'm not mistaken, 1,001 times. Colonel Sanders got turned down 1,001 times where he was trying to sell his recipe. He got turned down 1,001 times. My goodness. And there are so many people that's ready to give up after one or two times. Also, if you look at right now, we have the Olympics going on. There are people that have trained all their life for this moment. There was a runner, matter of fact, the runner, what is his name? He was known to be the fastest runner, and I wrote down his name a couple of days ago. But he trained for 4 years. He trained for 4 years to run for 9 seconds. And one of the things I found out, with the things that happen in life, I want to say this because I really want us to understand, yes, there are things going to be happening. There are things that have happened. There are things that will happen in our life that make us question us. Like I say, our purpose, our belonging, you know. But what I found out, I want to go ahead and just get straight to the point. You are more than enough. What I found out, when people do us wrong, when people reject us, when people talk about us, when people lie on us, when people try to make us believe their narrative, understand when we hear things, we got to question the source. Yes, yeah, thank you. My friend, my homeboy, Simi Hart, yes, Bolt, yes. He was, you know, when things happen in our life, when it make us question, like I say, we got to look at the source. We got to look at who's telling us or who's trying to bring this narrative. You got to check out their character, because what I found out, a liar, someone that's trying to make you believe a lie, you got to look at their character. See, oftentimes the people that may have made us feel that we're unworthy, made us feel that we're not loved, made us feel, oh, you'll never be anything in life, You gotta look at them. Yes, I know. Oftentimes we may look at ourselves. We end up beating up ourselves. We end up questioning ourselves. But how about for a change, we do something instead of looking at ourselves and beating up ourselves? We first look at the source. First of all, we gotta look at, if the devil telling you ain't good enough, think about why you listening to him. you know that the devil means you in no good. Also, you got to understand that the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. He's there to separate us. He is to separate us from God, or make us feel that we're separated from God. And then also to even lose fellowship, not just with God, but also lose fellowship with healthy people. The devil does not want you to be with healthy people. The devil does not want you to have a healthy relationship with God, nor a healthy relationship with others. And so when you have gone through certain things in life, like I said, regardless if it's the end of a friendship, the end of a job, career, the end of a relationship, marriage, friendship, or whatever. And when you know you've done your part, you know you've done the right thing, and they still want to belittle you, leave you, talk negatively about you, and even the negative words or actions that they have done, you have to look at the source. Yes, don't beat yourself up because of what they say. And I know some people, well, you know, it's two sides of every story. You know what? That's not always the case. Like I said, there are people that will hate you for no reason. Sometimes when a person sees you and they don't know who they are, they don't like who they are, but they see that you know who you are. They see that you are loved. They see, you know what, you're going somewhere in life. I mean, I'm telling you, there are people that could be jealous of you and hate, not just because of who you are, because you know who you are. When you know who you are in Christ, when you know who you are to people that love you, don't you know you can be you can be an enemy's worst enemy? Why? Because what I found out, sometimes you make them question, are they ready to go through what you've gone through? So many people, they don't know your story. They don't know what you went through. See, they just looking at you as, oh, well, you got, you know, people love you, or, you know, you got this, you got that. They want your glory, but they don't want your story. They don't know what you've gone through. You know, I tell people all the time, and this is not, well, I say it like this. I tell people all the time, if you knew what shoes I've walked in, and if I take them off and try to give to you, you'll try to probably throw it back at me. People don't know your story. People don't know. Some people just assume. People can just assume, but they just don't know. They just don't know. And some of the people, let's be honest, some people, they want to be handed stuff while you worked to accomplish what you have. While you worked to receive who you are, yeah, they just want to copy and paste, do the same thing as far as trying to get the same results. No. Friend of mine, somebody just said, if you were not good enough, the devil would not bother telling you because he wouldn't care. He tells you because he knows by God you are good enough. And also more than love. That's true. The devil tries so badly to make you feel like, well, you'll never be anything in life. And see what happened, whatever the devil tried to do or try to tell you, those are not facts. Those are suggestions that he tries to make you receive. Anything that the devil tells you, you don't have to receive it. Matter of fact, anything the devil tells you, you're not supposed to receive it. I'm going to tell you like this. Don't you know the devil himself is not the originator of nothing but lies? See, first of all, God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. God has given you faith, but the devil always trying to bring some type of counterfeit that's the opposite of God. For example, God wants you to operate in faith, but the opposite of faith, the devil trying to make you operate in fear. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that you don't see. But the opposite of faith is not only fear, but the opposite of faith is sight. Understanding that, see, we often become fearful of the things that we see. And the things that we see may intimidate us to make us not operate in faith. So understanding that, when the devil tries to throw these suggestions upon you as, well, you'll never be anything. You know, your grandmama did this, your mama did this, and now you're going to do the same thing. You're going to receive the same thing. Your daddy was nothing. You're not going to be nothing. And what happened? When we listen to that stuff or entertain that stuff will get into our spirit. And if we receive that, then we emulate what the devil said that we were. You think about this. You stay in a room full of smoke long enough, what happens? You become to smell just like that smoke. You begin to smell just like that. So it's so important to understand when the devil try to give you that suggestion or, you know, give you that stuff, you immediately get rid of it. There's an old saying that says you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from building a nest over your head. Yeah, that's the devil's job, to try to make you receive what he's suggesting, but you don't have to receive it. Remember this, God have already stated who you are and whose you are. You are more than enough. First of all, let me go back. Like I said, when the devil tries to make you question your relationship with God, yeah, he's going to try to make you feel like God doesn't love you, which is a lie. You know, the Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. So not only that God loves us, but he loved us so, he so loved us. What did he want? He wanted a relationship with us. He wanted us to be reconciled back to him. That's first. And if you think about it, if God didn't love you, then he wouldn't want to be reconciled back to you. But also, think about this. The Bible tells us that he's married to the backslider. So in other words, even if you have backslidden, he wants a relationship with you to be reconciled back to you. In other words, he wants you to be reconciled back to him. He didn't go anywhere. You went somewhere, but he wants you to come back. That's why the parable of the prodigal son is so important, to let us see the loving father from a physical sense. But look, that was the illustration of our spiritual father. And so, yes, the devil trying to make us feel that God doesn't love us, God doesn't care about us. You know, if he cared for you, then he wouldn't allow this situation to happen. Well, yes, there are some things that happen in our life that we have no control of. We don't choose the family that we're in. We had nothing to do with that. But in spite of the things that had transpired, God told us, some way, somehow, if we trust him, all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we do have a purpose in him. So with that, yes, there are things that may transpire. There are things that may have happened. But regardless of what happened, God can help us to be able to turn a negative into a positive. In other words, one thing I always say, what God hit me with, and I'll take this to my grave. God can make your pain profitable. God can make your pain profitable, not just financially, which is good, but even if it's profitable financially, that ain't enough, because there's a lot of millionaires, there's a lot of people with a lot of money, and they still miserable. But God can make your pain profitable financially, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. In other words, making us whole in every area of our life. lacking nothing. You know what? Even in the midst of being in a storm, God can give you peace. And like I always say, not just any kind of peace, but his peace that surpasses all understanding. Where people are looking at you and they find out what you've gone through and you still got joy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the individuals that I love dearly, unfortunately, we lost him a couple of months ago. But my Uncle Red. My Uncle Red, that man, he was a praiser. He was a worshiper. And he, one of his favorite scriptures, he would say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. That was the scripture that he lived by. And I began to see, wow, no matter what, he always had a smile. He always had a beautiful smile. But what I found out, if we begin to start taking that scripture personally, in the midst of whatever we deal with, yeah, we may not be happy, but we still have joy. Yeah, it may hurt us, but it does not define us. You know, what I found out, in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, each and every one of you, whatever you're dealing with, never allow anything from stopping you being a worshiper. I found that worship, it not only what we give to God, but it actually put us in right, not just in right standing with God, but also in right standing with the purpose that we're here on this earth. The first, I'm telling you, when you get into worship, it's like you get into that zone where God can really help you. God can really minister to you. God can encourage you. God can lift you up. Because if you can praise God, see, I'm going to say like this. Anybody can praise and worship God when things are going well. But when things are uncomfortable, when things are dramatic or traumatic or painful, and you still praise and worship God, it's like you telling God, God, you're my only source. And I'm giving you all that I have for you to come in and do what you do best and be God in my life. Right now, I need you right now. It's like giving God a spiritual 911 call where I need you expeditiously. I need you ASAP. I need you. And I'm telling you, when you do that, God can't help but to move. Also, even in the midst of worship, there's a peace that comes. It's like the worship, I'm not going to say it distract, but it removed the distraction, because worship is not a distraction. But what's trying to prevent you from worship is the distraction. And so when we begin to really just get into praise and get into worship in the midst of what we're dealing with, it's like God begins to feed us, fill us. And to help us to understand, yes, it helps us to understand that, wow, this is the place that I am right now. This is where God wants me to be at, for me to be able to be refilled and for me to be able to see him in this situation, to see him move on my behalf. So, yes, the devil could try to make us become distracted or derail us from our relationship with God, our relationship with our gift or our talent or our self. You'd be surprised when we go through things how the devil try to deal with our self-esteem. And also what I found, that the devil going to try so badly to bring depression. Yes, believers can get depressed. Yes. Yeah, people think, well, you know, no. I'm telling you, I'll put it like this. If you've never been in a situation, if you've never been in a situation where you end up getting depressed, keep living. I don't care. I don't care if you were depressed a minute. I don't care if it was depressed, you were depressed a day or a week. What is depression? Depression is a pressing on your spirit. That's what it actually means, a pressing on your spirit. And that depression can come from grief, and grief is not just pertaining to the death of a loved one, but also the death of a friendship, the death of some type of great disappointment, a great loss. So I want you to really understand it. But I'm going to say it like this. What we have to do as believers, let's take the mask off. Let's be real. Because there are people that's watching us. And there are people that can be helped by us being real and transparent. Yeah, matter of fact, and I share this. When we lost my sister, I spoke to my dad. And I said, I don't want to talk to Pastor Prater. I don't want to talk to Pastor Prater. I want to talk to Daddy. I said, see, Pastor Prater, he lost a member. But a member can be replaced. But Daddy, you lost a daughter. Yeah, and it so happened, I never lost a daughter. But I know the daughter that you lost. That was my sister. That was my Ace Boone Coon. That was my twin. That was my everything. Yeah, so I know about her, but I don't want to talk to Pastor Brad. I want to talk to Daddy. And, you know, that helped me not just to be able to minister to the pastor, but minister to my daddy. And there are many of us that are in the pulpit. There are many of us that have different positions in churches. Yes, you can't wear that title 24/7. Just like Superman, sometimes you got to take the cape off. Be Clark Kent. That doesn't mean that you ain't saved, but what you have to do, you have to be able to recognize where you at for you to be able to get the help that you need. There was an analogy I thought about. I saw where, if you get ready to use your GPS, and you go into a location, they're going to ask you what's your current location. Or what location will you be at as your starting point? You got to have your starting point. And this right here, you being transparent to acknowledge where you're at, yes, that's where you can get the help that you need. Because if you be real with yourself, and if you can admit, then that's the beginning of your healing process. But as long as you're in denial, as long as you, I'll be okay. I'm speaking in faith. No, you need to understand in reality. If you want the help that you need for tomorrow, you need to acknowledge where you are today, where you at. But I understand that not everybody can handle, whatever may come out. So that's why it's so important for us to be able to have responsible people that we can talk to, that we can be ministered by. Not everybody can handle, like I say. And, there's some people, hey, they may tell you something, and some people, they'll tell you stuff just for you to get out their face. But when God send you someone, look here, sometimes they can just say one word. Sometimes they don't have to say anything at all, but their presence. God can minister through silence. And so what we have to realize, when God begins to help us, first we got to acknowledge where we are. And that's where we can get the help that we need. Hey, tell God how you feel. Tell God how you feel. And, look here. That's why it's so important for us to know God's word for ourselves and know God's character, because God wants you to be real and transparent. If you tell God, if you want to tell God you upset, yes, tell him. But understand, he understands most of the time when we hurt, sometimes we're not feeling ourselves. But see, if you think about a woman that's getting ready to go through, give birth to a baby, she may say anything. Why? Because those labor pains may make her have a response that she may not really feel. But are you going to punish her because she's saying things while she, in the delivery room, while she having these contractions and all that stuff? No. Why? Because she's speaking from her emotion. You can't punish her because she's speaking from a place of hurt. And if you be real with yourself, if the shoe was on the other foot, you'd probably be saying a whole lot more than her. But when it's all over with, sometimes, when you're going through something, you may lash out on the person that you love. You may say something that you don't mean. Why? Because, like I say, them labor pains. Oh, I regret the day I met you. Oh, my gosh. hey, look, when she give birth to that baby, don't you go to the house and pack up herself and tell her to leave? You know, until you've been in that situation, that's all I can say. But so, understanding that God wants us to come to him and talk to him. You know, imagine that best friend that you have that you can really trust. You've been there for them, they're there for you. Do you think they're taking account because, oh my gosh, well, you're supposed to be Pastor so-and-so, and you saying this? Man, look here. That's why it's so important for you to have responsible people. But understand, when those situations come, God said we can come to him. We can come to him with our fears, our concerns, you know. But in spite of how we feel and us coming to him, we got to be real with ourselves. Be real. Be honest with Y-O-U and be honest with him. And so with that, understanding that when the devil tries to make us question ourselves, make us question our identity, let's go back to the source. What did God say about us? What did God say about our skill, our talent? You know, one of the things I looked at, when Satan had the encounter with Jesus, what was Jesus' response? He said, it is written. Yes, the devil said some things, and he even said some scripture, but he used them out of context. Meaning, the devil knows scripture, but he knows key words to leave out to deceive you. So what we have to do first, we got to understand who God is, but also we got to understand what his word says. It is proper context. See, understanding that we are the apple of God's eye, understanding that he made us lower, a little bit lower than the angels, knowing that we are made in his image and likeness. One of the things I found out that's really helpful is sometimes being able to look in the mirror and knowing that God made you just the way he wants you to be. One of the things I found out, yes, I can't change my height, but I can change my weight. In other words, there are some things that God made that we can kind of, you know, I don't want to say alter, but we can kind of, we have choices in what size we are, but we don't have the choice in what height we are. So in other words, the things that you can change, change, and the things you can't change, accept. Why? Because there's a specific purpose for it. Even some people, let's be honest, some people, hey, you can change your complexion, but you can't change your race. You may change your haircut, your hairstyle, but you can't change your family. Even if right now, if I choose to go ahead and denounce myself from my mother, from my father, from my siblings, if I do that right now, I'm still biologically related to them. So that's a purpose. But with that, understanding that no matter what may have happened in our life, I'm who I am because God have a specific purpose for me in spite of everything that transpires. And so with that, if there's a relationship that has ended, that has severed, yes, what I do, like I said, I listen to who said it, and I realize some of that is not factual. It's unfounded. So what I do, I forgive them. I forgive them, and I move on. I don't have to listen to somebody else's narrative when God has given me the facts of who I am. And so what you have to do, you have to know the facts of who you are, whose you are, and the investment that God had placed within you with those gifts, with those talents, all those things. Start spending quality time with God, but also start spending quality time with YOU. Being able to fine-tune those gifts, those talents that he has invested into you. You know, like I said, I spoke about Colonel Sanders earlier, but think about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, he was cut. He was cut from his high school basketball team. Yeah. But guess what? Get this. Even when it come down to him, he loved baseball. But he ended up being known for basketball. There's somebody else I'm going to throw out there. Yep. Prince. They know him as a great musician. But one of the things he loved to do, he loved to paint. He loved to play basketball. But was he known as a basketball player in high school? Yes. But throughout the world, no. He was known as a musician, as a great songwriter, whatever. Gifted young man. But you got to look at, matter of fact, even him being bullied in school. Think about it. Think about it. Oftentimes, what I found out, things when it seems like people are picking on you because they see something in you that you may not recognize. What I found out, sometimes the anointing, when a person is anointed, man, it's like everybody else see it but them. You know, it's like it's something different about the person. And what I found out, when a person is gifted and anointed, what I found out, they stand out. And sometimes when they stand out in a crowd, sometimes it can be offensive to some people. Or some people can be jealous of that because it's something about them. And it can be something that may challenge them to do better, to be right. Or if they ain't trying to be right, they're going to try to take out investing into you. They're going to try to dim the light that God is shining within you. But that does not mean that you have to dim your light because someone loved darkness. No. Like I said, that's why it's so important for you to understand who you are. And when people have tried to say things to dim your light, then you have to distance yourself emotionally from them. And there are some people, yeah, there may be some people, there may be in your family, there may be some people at your job, there may be some people in different places in your life. But you have to understand, not everybody should have access to your inner circle or your heart. Only responsible people that were assigned by God should. But not everybody should have access. Access to your heart, access to your mind, access to you. Not everybody is qualified. So that's why you have to examine, you got to be prayerful, you got to ask God to help you with the spirit of discernment for you to recognize who is responsible or who he is assigning into such an intimate place in your life. So yes, being prayerful and making sure that you listen, make sure you discern, but also understanding what did God say about you. Remember, he said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I could do all things. If God be for you, who could be against you? But the question is, when things happen in life, you got to have the time for you to go to the Spiritual Real Visitation Center and give it to God. Talk to God. Allow God to bring the healing to you. You have to make sure you have that time for you to be able to be repaired. In other words, think about this. You know, when a person exercises, when a person goes to the gym, I found out what's going to help. Yeah, exercise is good. It's good. That's important. But what I found out, true growth comes when there's a period of rest. Period of rest. See, the exercise, it breaks down the muscle. But the rest and help to repair. And when it's repaired, it grows back stronger. Are you allowing the repairing time in your life for you to be rebuilt, rehabilitated, restored, renewed? You have to. You have to allow God to come in and speak to you to help you in your time of need. And like I say, when things happen in life, that doesn't mean that that defines you. It should refine you. Allowing God, no matter what you've dealt with, regardless of what you dealt with, knowing that that's not the end. Sometimes the door closes because God has another door open for you. Just like at my job, I work in the jail. And before we get ready to go through the door in front of us, we have to make sure the door behind us is closed. We have to make sure that these doors are closed to secure. Make sure they're secured so that way, where we're leaving, nobody coming behind us. In other words, the door that's closed behind us, the people behind us don't have access to us because we're going to the next door, the next level. But understand, when those things happen, you got to be aware. You got to be spiritually sensitive to understand that when there's a progression, sometimes there's a digression. But God is trying to help you. God is trying to school you to let you know, no matter what transpired in your life, first of all, you are loved. Don't ever feel that because you are going through the end of a relationship, the end of a friendship, the end of a job, or whatever. Don't ever feel that there is an absence of love for you. Yeah, like I said, the devil going to try to deal with you right here. There are some right now that are dealing with so much. And matter of fact, you know, and this is me. I don't mind being transparent. One of the things, even conversation with my son, he's 18, and he grew up, you know, his mom and I aren't together. But I want him to know that daddy loves him. Daddy want to be there for him. Daddy is there for him. But I want him to know that I'm praying for him and his marriage right now. I've been praying for my son's marriage ever since he was in the single-digit age. You know, when I, matter of fact, when I get my no-no, yes, I get my no-no, I'm praying for him, I'm praying over my wedding ring, but I'm also praying for his wedding finger. I'm praying that finger. I'm praying for his marriage right now. I'm praying not just for my son, but I'm praying for my daughter-in-law's husband. I'm praying for my daughter-in-law's husband, and I'm also praying for my son's wife right now. Yeah. Yeah. So also even for him to know, hey, look here. Yeah, his mom and I divorced, but that does not mean that that has to be your identity. That doesn't mean that you have, that has to be your destination. That's what I'm trying to say. That does not mean that it has to be your destination. You can break that generational curse. You can break that. You know, be prayerful. You know, make sure, hey, learn from other people. Decisions. Learn from it. Seek God. Listen to God. And don't move until God moves. I want you to do that. So even as parents, like I said, there was a situation that transpired years ago, and I was like, man, you know, there were times that I felt like a failure as a father. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did this, did all I could, but I know me. And I try to be an active father, but there was some areas I'm like, man, I want to be there to protect my son. I want to be there to talk to my son. I want to be there to, you know, whatever I can do. And if I felt like I couldn't do it, I'm like, man, but that was me. And so even with you being a single parent, you being a single mother, you being a single father, matter of fact, y'all could be married. You could be with the child's mother, the child's father. and your child may be, you know, leaning towards a certain area, have a certain behavior that you don't like, or maybe doing something that you may not like, maybe making a decision that you don't like. And you may feel like, man, you may feel like you're a failure as a parent. You may feel like, man, the decision my child making, am I the cause of it? You'd be surprised. All these things that come into our minds. But does that mean that you're not saved? No. Number one, that means that you care. Yeah, so don't let the devil make you feel like, well, you know, you're a failure as a mother. You're a failure as a father. No. One of the things I found out, grown folks, we're not responsible for grown folks' decisions. Even at work, don't you know there are some people, you know, you can train them, you can mentor them, or whatever, and they can do whatever they want to do. That's not your fault. The devil trying to make us receive the blame of somebody else's decisions. That ain't the case. That does not have to be because of you. The devil trying to make you have all these false responsibilities, and God saying, no, no, no. They are accountable for themselves. So what I would suggest, even I feel the need to say this, right now, whatever that may be on your heart that you may feel like, man, what the devil may try to make you blame, first of all, you can sort that with God. Because the devil may be trying to falsely accuse, because remember what I said. He's the accuser of the brethren. The devil trying so badly to make you feel all this false guilt and all this stuff to make you be distracted from what or who God calls you to be. So, yes, you are more than enough. You are more than enough. God giving you purpose and identity, and he wants you to seek him. The Bible tells us, you know, seek him first. Seek him first. Consult with him about everything and lean not to our own understanding. And when we acknowledge him in all our ways, he shall direct our path or make our pathway straight. And what I found out is not just pertaining to a beginning of a decision, but even in the midst of something that we realize, God, I made a mistake. God, I messed up. God, forgive me. If we acknowledge him, like I said, not just in the beginning of something, but even in the middle of something, when we come to our senses like the prodigal son did, God can smooth out every rough patch. God can make those pathways straight. But we got to acknowledge him. So how about we do that and realize when life happens or when people do stuff to us, it will not separate us from the love of God nor the love that we should have for ourselves. Do not allow the devil to make you question your worth, your identity, or even your self-esteem. I want each and every one of us to start looking in the mirror and look at God's creation and appreciate it. You know, so many people, they are afraid in the mirror because they don't like who they are. I've been there. Those that watched throughout the years, I'll be the first one to tell you, I was one of the main ones that had low self-esteem. Now, I don't feel like I'm better than anybody now. But one thing about it, I feel like nobody better than me. I don't have to compare myself to anybody else. But also, I love to be able to celebrate other people. And even if others are celebrated, does it not mean, oh my gosh, well, Lord knows my time is coming. What if your time doesn't come at the time that you expected? Would you still be able to celebrate with other people? That's when you know who you are. God wants you to be comfortable in your own skin. God wants you to be comfortable and knowledgeable of who you are and be cool with it. I'm telling you, God can help you, but you don't have to be afraid to look in the mirror. You don't have to be afraid of, oh my gosh, In spite of what you're dealing with, look in the mirror and say, God, I want you to minister to that person that I'm seeing right now. God, I want you to help me. And as I'm talking to you to help me, I'm going to give you worship. I'm going to give you reverence because I know everything you did, everything that's pertaining to my life, you have already mapped it out. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to trust you in spite of me not physically being able to look like I can trace you. But what I'm doing, I'm giving you a praise right now. I'm letting you know I'm here. I'm letting you know, yes, I'm trusting you, and I know you're going to work out everything for my good. And so I want you to be encouraged. Regardless of what you dealt with or what you faced, that doesn't define who you are. Even when people put you down, even when people make you feel like, well, you'll never be anything. No. That's not what God said. Number one, like I said, there are some people, toxic people, God may be trying to filter out some foolishness in your life to make you be able to have some fresh living water in your life. People that's going to come in and give life, speak life to you, not death, not traumatic things, not crazy stuff. God may be trying to talk to you and help you to be able to receive the things or the people that he has for you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be proud of you, proud of you. That doesn't mean that, you know, you got to do something for people. But also for you to be able to cater to you without feeling guilty, for you to be able to feel like, yes, you are somebody. You are somebody. One of the things I always tell people, think about this. If you had a brother, if you had a daughter, if you had a son that was in the same situation as you and you knew everything about their situation as you know about yours, what would you tell them? Well, if you be able to tell them those encouraging words, then how about you tell that person that's in your mirror? Or if you know everything about their situation because it's your situation, then if you're not going to be able to tell yourself, then how about you tell your child's mother or your child's father? In other words, if you look at yourself independent from you knowing who you are and look at yourself as a stranger that so happened to be in the same situation as you, you speak to that person. I'm telling you from firsthand experience, God can give you a word right now that will change your life, that you'll remember because you realize this time right now, you realize that's the missing ingredient that you needed for you to have that light to come back, to come to you, for you to realize who you are. Yeah. So I want to encourage each and every one of you. Yes, whatever you may be dealing with, whatever you may be going through, it doesn't define who you are. You keep on going. Yes. Yeah, just in case you may not be saved, just in case you are a seeker, yes, we talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is here to help us in our time of need and want. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit want to reside into you and will reside into you when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then there's a growing process for you to be able to learn the word of God, study the word of God, recite it. And I'm telling you, God will remind you of something. God will remind you of your words when situations occurs where you may not have access to your Bible, but you have access to his word. So I want to encourage you, if just in case you're not saved, Romans 10:9 tells us, thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, verbally acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you want to invite him into your life. I'm telling you, I wish everyone knew the importance of being saved. Like I say, it doesn't mean that, you know, problems won't occur. But what it means that we have help in our time of trouble, in our time of problem, in a time of situation. So in spite of trouble comes, we're not by ourselves. We got somebody that can shield us and help us in our time of trouble. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come to you right now. We thank you all for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. So, God, we come to you right now, God. First of all, I ask God to help us right now, God. In the area of our lives, God, help us right now, God, to receive you as Lord and Savior in our life, God. And help us, God, to lean upon you, God, in the things that may be going on in our life, God. God, we acknowledge you, God. We not only do we need you in our life, but we want you in our life. We acknowledge you, God. And God, we definitely need you to come in and help us right now. In the name of Jesus. God, there are those who may be going through some things, God, regardless if it's the end of a friendship, end of a marriage, end of a job, or just life itself. You know, the feeling of a health or something, and they're questioning their identity. They're questioning their worth. God, we speak right now, God, that you help them right now, God, wherever they are, God. Help them, God, to acknowledge where they are, God, so that way they can get the help that is needed, God. Help them, God, to be real with you and real with themselves, God. Be honest and be transparent right now, God, for them to get the help that they need right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we speak right now, God, every accusation, every lie, everything the devil or the enemy have tried to put forth to try to change their narrative. God, we speak right now, God, that you remove every negative word, every negative thought that might have been planted in their ears or planted in their soul right now, in their minds right now, God. Filter it out, get it out right now, God, and let them know the truth, God. Let them know that they are loved, God. Let them know that they have purpose, God. Let them know that they have identity. Help them to understand they got worth right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind everything the devil stands for. We cancel the devil's assignment right now. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you right now, God, for healing, God. Thank you, Lord, for mending every broken heart right now. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, we're speaking right now, God, even for those that are grieving right now, God, comfort them right now, God. Be with them right now, God. We holding up the Mac family right now, God, in their time of loss, God. Hold them up right now, God. Help her. Help right now, God. Help, God, the Mac family right now, God. Help right now, God, in the name of just holding up Keisha right now, God. And God, we speak, God, even the Shaw family, God, hold them up before you right now, God. Hold up Carter, class of 91 right now, God. Continue to hold them up before you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we speaking, God, for Pastor Dion right now, God. Comfort him right now, God. In the name of Jesus, strengthen him right now, God. In the name of Jesus, give him Holy Ghost boldness and courage right now, God. In the name of Jesus, he needs you and we need you right now, God. And God, help him, God, even in his time right now, God. Even as he ministers to others, God, help him with the strength, God, to even minister to himself right now, God. Give him the strategic plan, God, to lead your people right now, God. But also, God, give him the rest that he needs right now, God, for himself, God. Not just as a pastor, but even as a brother that's grieving, God. Help him right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen his church right now, God, that's going to be able to help him and love on him right now, God. And God, be speaking right now, God, to Giles right now, God. Hold him up before you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, every other person that may be grieving right now, God, comfort them, be with them right now, in the name of Jesus. God, be speaking right now, God, not just the grief pertaining to the loss of a loved one, but even the loss of a relationship, the loss of friendship right now, God, the disappointments right now, God. God, be speaking, God, that you massage their broken heart right now. In the name of Jesus, help them, God, and hold their head up right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimony that's coming from this, God. We thank you, Lord, for the purpose being revealed and the identity being revealed in this right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Even what the devil tried to do to destroy us, he would not make his intended target. So, God, we thank you for it right now, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being a shield, God. Thank you, Lord, for being a shield during the storm right now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for being a shelter in the time of the storm right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the lesson well learned, God. Even what we went through and what we've gone through, helping us, God, to be able to minister to one another right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it right now, God. We thank you for it right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we speaking right now, God. Even someone that may be dealing with the job right now, God. I'm seeing someone right now, God, dealing with conflict on the job right now, God. God, they've been look like they've been replaced, placed here. Lord, we speaking right now, God, that you fix that problem right now, God. In the name of Jesus, even when the devil tries to misplace them, God, we know, God, that they are there, the appointed place, God, for the appointed time. And God, we thank you, Lord, for interpreting for them, giving them the courage to speak right now, God, and being able to have those things resolved right now, God. Lord, we thank you for it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this testimony that's coming from this right now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank you all for tuning in. If y'all want to get in contact with me, I'm Brother Prater, B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P as in Paul, R-A, T as in Tom, E-R. If you want to, you can catch me on Facebook. I'm Brother Prater. You see my daily devotion and my videos. Also, you can go to my website or my app. Like I said, that's available on Apple or Android. You can go to my Apple website where you see my daily devotions and my videos. Also, this calendar that's on there, it tells you my personal appearance and where I'll be at or speaking at or whatever. Then also, you can go to the store section of my website or my app where you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to God and Fatherhood. A Few Good Men was written to inform men their needs and their responsibility towards their family, their children, even their children's mother. Human. Also, it's not only speaking to the men, but also speak to the ladies. So that way it can be reciprocated. So it's for each and every one of us. Also, the other book called The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper, The Love Beyond Life, and it's a tribute to my sister, Sheila Prater, who was killed by a domestic violent relationship. And, you know, all I can say with that, I even thank y'all for y'all prayers even recently pertaining to that situation. And I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in, and know that I love y'all dearly, and thank y'all so much for y'all continued prayers and support. God bless you, and good night. Love y'all dearly.